Okay, good evening. Thank you for coming here this evening to be with us. And thank you to those who are joining us on Zoom as well, making that effort to hear the preaching of the Word of God this evening. It's wonderful to be back in the house of the Lord and to be able to be here this evening and look into the Word of God. And if you could turn with me, please, to the book of 1 John. 1 John and chapter 4, please. 1 John and chapter 4. And let's be upstanding, shall we, this evening for the reading of God's Word. We're going to be reading from verses 1 through to 6 here of chapter 4, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And the Bible reads, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this, your precious word. Thank you, Father, that in your word there is all things that pertain unto life and godliness, all that we need, Heavenly Father. And Father, I know that it is not in my person, who I am this evening, Lord, that I can... Lord, can cause people to be enlightened to your truth or to change lives, Father, to bring lasting change in people's hearts and people's lives, Father. Even, Lord, to be able to expose it, Lord, I need your grace and I need you to work through me. Thank you that we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth within us to guide us into all truth. We do acknowledge his presence here at this time. We're claiming that promise of Christ that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. So we do acknowledge the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within the heart of every believer and dwells here in our midst. We do pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be honoured and glorified, Father, that you would empty me of myself and with your Holy Spirit and help me to speak only those things that you would want me to. I pray that you would take your word home to people's hearts and you meet the need of the hour, Father, as only you can do. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Title for this evening's message is Discernment of the Spirits, and this whole epistle here that John is writing, he's writing to this church who had an issue with the error, which is, or the early beginnings of the error known as Gnosticism, and it was a strange belief and devilish belief. John says, "No lies of the truth," and these beliefs of the Gnostics certainly were not. Were not of the truth, and they were very devilish, and they attacked the very person of who Christ was, and that was a great issue there. And you see that John, throughout this epistle, he deals with the person of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and shores up the doctrine of who Christ is. And so we're just going to back up here and just give you a bit of an overview about the matter of Gnosticism before I continue on here. And I have here from, this is from Pastor Richard Hester, on the false teachers and their teaching. He says, "They had been in the churches, but now some had withdrawn. They denied that Jesus was the Christ. They denied that God the Son had become incarnate in flesh. They denied the union of the two natures, human and divine, into one person." Okay, so they made a division between the divine Christ and the human Jesus, and tried to say that basically... that they were not one and the same person, but rather they made this distinction there, wrong distinction. The heresy had the beginnings of Gnosticism, which would later develop in the second century. Corinthus, a well-known heretic, taught that Jesus was born naturally of Mary and Joseph. He taught that the spirit of the divine Christ descended upon the man Jesus at the latter's baptism, indwelt him for the duration of his ministry, and left him shortly before his crucifixion. Thus, only the human Jesus suffered and died. The views of Corinthus attacked the nature of the person of Christ, his incarnation, and indirectly the value of his atonement. Another heretic of the day taught that Jesus only appeared as a man but did not have a real material body, as if he were a theophany of the Old Testament. The heretics used banner phrases such as born of God, walking in the light, having no sin, dwelling in God and knowing God. And you see that John, throughout this epistle, he uses some of these phrases or some of this type of terminology as he deals with error without actually naming them outrightly. These heretics arrogantly believed they were cleansing the church of dead wood and making Christianity an intellectually respectable philosophy relevant to stand before the wisdom of the day. Little wonder that John spoke with such passion and intensity. The Christian faith was at stake. So bear in mind that background of the era of Gnosticism. And John is here, tries to deal with this error and shows that the Lord Jesus is the Christ. Okay, the human Jesus and the divine Christ are both one and the same person. And here he speaks about this matter of discernment, of discerning the spirits of false teachers and finding out whether these people are really teachers of God or not. So for an outline for you this evening, we have three main points. We have the call to discernment, 4:1, the keys to discernment, chapter 4, verses 2 to 3 and 5 to 6, and the conquest in discernment, chapter 4 and verse 4. So firstly, let's look at the call to discernment, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And we see here in this first verse that there is something to stop and there is something to start. Something to stop and something to start. He says, beloved, okay, this is a loving admonition. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit. And Wu says, believe not is in a construction in the Greek text which forbids the continuation of an action already going on. It is stop believing every spirit. And John here is dealing with an existing problem in the church. And there was possibly some of these believers who had been carried away with some of these errors of the Gnostics. Perhaps some had been swayed to a degree. And John is here trying to deal with this. And he says, in essence, says, stop believing every spirit. We see here a call to discernment. You need to be discerning. Stop believing every spirit. Don't be gullible. We could put it in simple terms that way. Don't be gullible. Stop believing every spirit. And you know that as Christians, we need to be sober when it comes to doctrine. We need to be sober when it comes to the teachings of the Word of God. We need to be sober and discerning when it comes to the teaching of the Word of God. We need to be sober and discerning when it comes to our belief in the Word of God and in the doctrines of the Word of God, which we hold to be so very dear to our hearts. Do you know that in Christianity requires you to think? It does. It requires you to discern. I like the way that John Mackay puts some things. Yeah, there's some religions, you go into them, you don't have to think. You don't have to think when you become a Muslim. You can just go and learn their prayers in Arabic. You don't even know what you're saying and just say them, you know, in the mosque somewhere. As John Mackay says, you don't have to think to become a Buddhist. All you have to do is meditate and go, But when you become a Christian, you have to think. You have to use your mind. And John here tells them to be discerning. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they've got. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Does it really matter what we believe? You hear people say it, don't you? It's whatever you believe. Everyone's got their own beliefs. Yeah, it really does. It really does matter what we believe. It really, really does. We live in the day where people would basically say that, you know, basically everyone's right and truth is relevant to you. If that's the way you were raised, well, that's what's true for you. Oh, the Baptists, they were raised a different way. That's what's true for them. The Muslims, they were raised a different way. That's what's true for them. Atheists were raised a certain way. That's what's true for them. No, there is real truth and there is real error. Buy the truth and sell it not. One of my Bible college lecturers, he made a good point, very simple. Let me just ask a question. He said, what is the point of believing a lie? What is the point of believing a lie? You know, there is no point to believing lies, is there? The lie might make you feel happy. The lie might make you feel fulfilled. The lie might make you feel powerful. The lie may make you feel many things, but it's still a lie and it's not the truth. And John says, no lies are the truth. The whole ecumenical movement today, dealing with the whole matter of unity and love, we just need to come together and be unified. There's no point to believing lies. Oh, but there is so much unity in this big ecumenical gathering. So much unity. Unity based on what? Unity based on what? Well, we all believe in the same God. That do us well. The devils believe and tremble. Our believers that there is one God, they do us well. The devils also believe and tremble, James 2:19. But some people are very passive when it comes to doctrine. And they just let all these different ideas wash in and out of their minds without being discerning about what they are hearing. And John says, stop believing every spirit, in essence. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit. There's something, every spirit, there's something to stop here. Then there's also something to start. Something to start. He says, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. This whole matter of discernment. He says, K.S. Wu says, the word try is dokimazo, to put to the test for the purpose of approving and finding that the person put to the test meets the specifications laid down to put one's approval upon him. Okay, putting to the test for the purpose of approving. Try the spirits. Now, there are multiple spirits. Okay, but there are only two in essence. Okay, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By the way, some of you might be having some bells ring here. This is the second time preaching this message, okay? I jumped ahead in the series and then I went back. And now I'm back up to this portion again. I think the Lord just led me to go back and preach over this again. So hopefully you get something new this time. So something to start. So there are multiple spirits, but two in essence. Okay, and this is when it speaks about the spirits. It's speaking about the spirits of professing teachers and preachers. Okay, and we are to try or prove the spirits of those who claim to be preaching and teaching the Word of God. Now, notice here with this whole matter of being discerning, does it speak to a particular group of people? One way, yes, and in another way, no. Okay, speaking to believers. But this whole matter of discernment is for every believer. Okay, it is not just for the leadership of the church. It's not just for a certain group in the church. But he just says, beloved, believe not every spirit. That every believer needs to be discerning. And in the local church, every believer needs to be discerning. Not only the pastors, but all the church members as well, young or old, need to have discernment when they are being taught. And discernment when they are hearing things that are preached. Good to be interactive with what you're being taught, isn't it? To listen to it, to think about it. And you know, if by the grace of God, if you have the Spirit of God within you, obviously being a saved individual, you have the Spirit of God within you, and you've been taught the Word of God. When you hear certain philosophies, something won't ring true with you. When you hear something. I heard about this man who's quite a big time leader over in America. I think he went bankrupt. He's a religious leader, and one of the things he said, something along these lines, he said, the greatest gift that God has given to man is self-confidence. Religious leader. Is there anything wrong with that? Now, a lot of people in the world will say, yeah, that's good, you know, self-confident. We need to be confident in ourselves and trust ourselves and believe in ourselves. No. What did Paul say? We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we would not trust in ourselves. We should not trust ourselves, but in the living God. When you hear things, you need to test things. You need to prove things. Is this what the scriptures are saying? Is this the spirit of truth? Is the spirit of God, or is this the spirit of error? Be discerning. The Bereans were a discerning group of Christians. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Okay, so these people were genuine, and when they heard things, they searched the scriptures to see whether those things were so. And when they found them to be so, then they continued on with them. But some people seem to like toying with new doctrines and new beliefs. They've got some sort of a fascination with having to fiddle with new ideas and new beliefs. In Acts 17, it said of the Athenians and strangers, it says, for all the Athenians and strangers who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. What's the latest fad? What's the latest doctrine? And we've got to latch onto this new fad or this new fad. And they seem to get some sort of a carnal fulfillment out of looking into all these different errors and fads of whatever. But no, we need to have discernment when it comes to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Okay, if the teacher is not teaching in accordance with the truth of the Bible and he is not willing to believe the truth, reject him and his teaching. Heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. So we have seen here, first of all, the call to discernment. And firstly was the particulars of the call, something to stop and something to start. And then further on we've got another thing we have here is the purpose of the call. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He tells them not to believe every spirit. He tells them to try the spirits. Why? Because many false prophets are gone into the world. And sadly, error abounds, doesn't it? Many false teachers. Think about all the different isms there are. Buddhism, Catholicism, Mohammedism, the isms go on and on and on, Hinduism, atheism. Think of all the different isms there are, and then think about how many teachers within each ism. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, there is error everywhere, and many false prophets. And even in Christendom, largely speaking, many false prophets. And people get deceived, don't they? Yeah, people get deceived by what they hear. And don't think that because you're in a fundamental independent Baptist church that you will never be faced with error. Because the devil is always trying to destroy churches. He's always trying to destroy believers. And don't be surprised that even if error can come into an independent Baptist church. Do you know that years ago there was a lady who used to come to Northside who, in essence, crossed the road here and started going to the SDAs? Got caught with the spirit of error. Acts 20:29-30, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. There's false teachers without, and sometimes false teachers come up within the church, within the very church itself, to lead people away. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Error. Be discerning. We need to be discerning because there is much error and many false teachers. Be careful today when there's all this talk about love. Apostle John speaks a lot about love, doesn't he, in this epistle? Speaks about love. Even in this first verse here of chapter 4, he says, beloved, okay? John has been referred to as being the apostle of love. As we next sermon, Lord willing, that we're going to go into, we're going to speak about the matter again of love. And we see that God is love. But there's a whole new fad of love today where there's not discernment, where we all just gather together in this ecumenical hodgepodge And we're here and it's all about love and unity. Just imagine for a moment that the Apostle John was able to be resurrected back from the dead again, and people didn't know who he was. And he started speaking out in Christendom about the matter of discernment. Can you imagine what sort of a welcome that he would have? He starts speaking about being discerning and trying the spirits, and talking about whosoever committed sin is of the devil, and you know, he says some of the different things. Can you imagine what sort of reception he'd get? Oh, you're a Pharisee, you are. You're a Pharisee. Oh, John, you know, you're bigoted. Oh, you're narrow-minded. You're divisive. You know, you're unloving. You're judgmental. All that sort of rubbish. Be discerning. So not only this matter of discernment, we see also the keys to discernment. How then do we discern? We need to discern. There's a call to discernment. Then how do we discern between truth and error? Because usually error doesn't come along and say, hello, I'm error. Hello, I'm a lie. False teachers don't come to you and say, oh, hello, I'm a false teacher and I want to deceive you. I want to tell you lies. No, error is very seductive. Covert. Satan's ministers present themselves as angels of light. How do we discern? We can discern them in multiple ways. Firstly, we can discern them by the Christ they profess. The Christ they profess. What do they say about Jesus Christ? Verses 2 to 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So what do they say about Christ? Because a true teacher, a true believer who is teaching the word of God will have the Holy Spirit within him, and if he's been controlled by the Spirit of God, he will say the right things about who Jesus Christ is. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, says the Lord Jesus, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. Does never leads us into error. And if a teacher has the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, and is under his control, he will have the right belief about who Jesus Christ is. So he says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And John here is dealing with the matter of the incarnation. The divine Son of God became a man, okay, took on human flesh. And this is a fundamental truth. And without this truth, but people who get mixed up on this truth can't get saved because they don't know who Jesus Christ really is. And without the incarnation of the Son of God, we couldn't have gotten saved. If the divine Son of God had not taken on human flesh, he couldn't have suffered for our sins in that way, as Jesus did on the cross. I'm glad he did, though. That Christ suffered for our sins, according to the Scriptures. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, on in the world, received up into glory. The fact that the divine Son became a man. And you know, the Gnostics, they believed in the divine Christ, but they didn't believe that he was the human Jesus as well. They believed that the divine Christ came upon the human Jesus at his baptism and then left again. And if we could reverently call our Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, our bridge, as it were, to God, they break the bridge. Because the divine Christ and the human Jesus are not one and the same. Jehovah's Witnesses, so-called, they break the bridge too. They say that they understand, yes, that Jesus Christ is a man, but they deny his deity. But we need one. Our Saviour is both. both God and man. And that is the only way that we can be saved, is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man. Do you know that the demons, though, they're not in any doubt as to who Jesus Christ is? The Watchtower Witnesses might be confused, and the Christadelphians might be confused, and many other people confused about who Jesus Christ is. But, you know, the demons, they've got their theology right when it comes to Christ. They know who he is. And I've read about, I think it's John Phillips writes about one of these Irvingite tongue-speaking meetings where these spirits would take control of people and they would speak through these people. And some people tried to test those spirits, and they would speak to the demon, even though the people thought they were probably under the influence of the Spirit of God who was within the person, and they would tell them to try to get them to confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And the demonic spirit within the person would evade the question and wouldn't say it. And then when they would keep on pressing, finally the demonic spirit would let go of its victim, and then the person, without the influence of the demonic spirit, would then confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. See, demons know who Jesus is. But don't be surprised that demons sometimes say nice things. It would say something general about Jesus. Good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple. And don't be surprised that when false teachers come, that they don't necessarily have charisma, that they don't know how to formulate good words, that they don't know how to put on a veneer of love and of kindness, or even have it mixed in with human love and human kindness as well. Error comes packaged in a very bad way. Remember when back in the Garden of Eden, the devil didn't come out in all his ugliness? He knew how to present himself in a beautiful way and to speak in a nice way, and deceived her. And it's the same today. He doesn't send two ugly demons to the door, get a knock on the door, and instead you have two well-dressed, short back and sides, polite Watchtower Witnesses. And what they believe about Jesus is devilish. It's evil. But they know how to be polite, even some of them. They're not necessarily rude. They can be polite, friendly, kind, have a bit of a conversation. But what they believe about Jesus Christ is devilish. It's evil. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. God is not the source of these false teachers who teach that. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And the spirit of Antichrist is in direct opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Christ. So whenever you have a teacher and he is not teaching you the biblical Lord Jesus, you know it's the spirit of Antichrist, no matter how kind they sound. No matter how friendly they are, it's the spirit of error. Whereas the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth and testifies that which is true about the Lord Jesus. John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Also as well, maybe you might find with some false teachers that they can be rather irreverent about who Jesus is. I've worked with Jehovah's Witnesses and they say geez just as a swear word or something they throw around. And, you know, I've even spoken to some of them about it before. And I said to one guy recently, I said, does that not bother you? He said, oh, it's just a bad habit. But see, they've not been regenerated. They don't know Christ. And what they believe about Christ is devilish anyway. Some of it. You know, it's interesting how a lot of groups which see themselves as believing in the Lord Jesus have false views about him. A lot of the cults, you think about it, Watchtower Witnesses, problems with who Jesus Christ is. Mormons, problems with who Jesus Christ is. Tron says the brother of Satan. Christadelphians, problems with who Jesus Christ is. Muslims, problems with who Jesus Christ is. Seventh-day Adventists, they've got problems as well. Errors with who Christ is. So that can let that be a warning light to you. When they have these new ideas or these strange ideas about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, beware. Be discerning. Don't swallow it. Not only that matter of the Christ they profess, but the creed they proclaim. What is their teaching like? Obviously, the person of Christ, it's not good, but what else? Verse 5 says, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Let's get a bit of an understanding about their message, what the message of the false teachers is like. Because they're unregenerate people, they're religious, they might be zealous, very zealous for it, but they're lost. Their domain is the world as such, and their teaching comes from the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Okay, because they're worldly people, they're lost. Their teachings may actually sort of work with human reason to a degree sometimes. It might sound to them as though it's something that's plausible. 1 Corinthians 2:13 to 14 says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," or except the lost man, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1:18. 2 Timothy 4:3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And don't be surprised sometimes that people will even follow after false teachers, that the things they say will work to human reason. E.g., the greatest gift God has given man is self-confidence. And people say, "Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I need to be self-confident." That it will appeal to the lost person, and sometimes even appeal to carnal people as well, carnal Christians. They'd be a Christian in a church and they just seem to be very mediocre, whatever, then all of a sudden they get some error and they turn into these fire-breathing zealots because they've been filled with error. And error can sound very convincing to the lost. Error can sound different things. Error can sound exciting. Steve Anderson there, you know, with his brash, vicious way of preaching, and "Oh, this is really something, you know, all the mamby-pamby stuff, and this guy's really putting rounds down rage with error." Error can sound soothing. I wouldn't recommend you listen to Joel Osteen. But he spoke about how that, you know, when Jesus was in the boat and how that Jesus, how he was able to control the storm. You know how the Lord said, "Peace be still." And he said, "Do you know why Jesus could control that storm? Because Jesus didn't let the storm on the inside." Disgusting. Jesus could control the storm because he's God manifest in the flesh. But see, that warmed up psychology, and people go, "Oh yeah, and I just need to control the storms in my life. I need to not let that storm come into the inside of me," and so forth. Error can sound powerful. You know, there are actually people who believe they can control the weather. Seriously. There are people who claim to be Christians who think that they can stop it from raining. Really. They think that they can have power over the elements like the Lord did. "We'll go fix all the droughts and all the famines." Or, "I can touch people and heal people. We'll go put the doctors out of the job and let us close all the hospitals." But people believe it. Sounds powerful. It can sound intellectual. Calvinism, we've found it. Found the answer. All these years and now, just from reading the Bible and John Piper and John Calvin and all these other ones, of course, as well, all of a sudden, I'm going deep into the Bible. So deep that the plain sense doesn't make sense anymore. World doesn't mean world anymore. All doesn't mean all anymore. Whosoever doesn't mean whosoever anymore. Error can sound loving. Find the witness, watchtower witnesses. Oh, they'll take the high ground on you when it comes to hell. Oh, you know, one said to me, he said, oh, are you telling me that, you know, after this conversation today, you know, that one of us is going to hell? And I said, yes. And he said, I'm glad I don't know your God. So they take the high ground on you, you know. You see, you know, your God's unloving. You know, or don't judge. Stop judging people. And it sounds loving, but it's error. It's wrong. Regardless of how it comes across, error is error. Remember that the devil is the god of this world, and he's spreading his lies, has been for thousands of years, in people's hearts and people's heads. And you know that it's not life as far, you know, life is, I know I'm someone who likes a joke, but you know, life isn't a game in that case. Life is not a game. You know, there are real losses to be suffered and real blessings to be gained. And people think life's a game, but the devil is playing for keeps. Oh yeah, he's playing for keeps. And he loves error. And the devil probably be welcomed in a lot of churches today because he'd be so open-minded and easygoing, providing you didn't believe the truth. Also, verse 6, the compliance they prove. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, says John. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And if the teachers truly know God, they will listen to the teaching of men who truly know God. Those who are willing to dispense with the teachings of the apostles, they were not of God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. You might find that someone who's been taken with the spirit of error is not very teachable. They're not willing to listen. Someone wants to help them, try and show them, no, you're getting caught with the spirit of error, but no, too late. Their head's fritzed. The teachers truly know God, they'll listen to the teaching of men who truly know God. Also, back to verse 4, we see the conquest in discernment, the conquest. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, there are at times there has to be a conquest. There has to be a fight when it comes to truth and error. And you know what? Sometimes there has to be a fight in the church. There does. So we want unity, don't we? Yes. Do we want division? No. But when error comes into the church, there has to be a conquest. The people in the conquest we see, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them. And these are believers who speaking to you said, you've been victorious. You've had victory over these false teachers. And you know, the best initial defense that you can have against error is to get saved. You know, when someone's not saved, you know, they're going to be open to all sorts of errors. And they're going to be easily swayed, easily changed, easily moved, because they've never come to know the Lord Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life. And they've never come to know the spirit of truth. So first and foremost is to be a believer if you are to hold out against error. But secondly also, So the best initial defense against error is to get saved. Once you're saved, you're no longer blind and you have the Holy Spirit within you to guide you into all truth. Maybe you've experienced a battle with people who have been seduced with error. Maybe you've had to fight and you've had some wounds for it. You said, all I was trying to do was stand for the truth. All I was trying to do was stand for what is right. And perhaps you might think back and say, did I do the right thing? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. If you stood for what was right, if you stood for the word of God and you said, no, this is not what our church believes, you did what is right. And don't let the devil with his special grace, as Pastor Simeon puts it, come and whisper in your ear and tell you, you know, that you've just wrecked that church or whatever. No, if you stood for what's right, then that was right before the Lord. And false teachers don't like it when you stand in their way. They're carnal, in some cases lost. Sometimes they're saved, but they've been caught with the spirit of error, and they don't like it when you stand in their way. But stand there, believer, in this church. If ever error comes into this church, stand there and say, no, this is not what we believe. And how good would it be as well where the churches would be united against error? So it's not just the pastor or a couple of individuals putting up their hands saying, stop, this isn't right. That the church collectively would say, no, that's not what we believe. No, that's error. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. And we're not changing, we're not moving. Stand for the truth, even if it costs you. It can be very costly to stand for the truth. You might lose your reputation. You might lose a lot of friends. You might have to move. You might have to find another church. And it costs you. And you know, if a church goes into error and they won't turn from it, yes, the best thing is to leave. You don't go down the gurgler with the church that's gone to error. Okay, you're not going to listen. You're going to deviate from the word of God. See ya. We're going. Bye. Oh, no. Unity. No, separation. Separate from error. Oh, you don't love them. Yes, we do. But we're not going to take error. I'm not going to feed error to my kids. Too much to lose. And you know, something I've spoken on in this book, you know, where John says no lies of the truth. You know, we shouldn't have a toleration for lies. Oh, this isn't really a big issue though. Yes, it is. No lies of the truth. Oh, this isn't a problem if we question this doctrine or we have a different view on this doctrine. Yes, it is. No lies of the truth. And you know, sometimes people probably don't realise the ramifications of what they believe. Have you thought through what this means by believing this? Have you thought through what this means by leaving this doctrine and changing your doctrine? Have you thought about it? Sometimes the reaping comes later, and you know what happens when you reap, when you sow something, you reap more. And what we do believe is so important. And you know, we need to treasure the Word of God. We need to treasure the truths of the Word of God. And our statement of faith. Statement of faith isn't some sort of a catechism. We didn't formulate our statement of faith from Buddhism or from Catholicism or something like that. That's the teaching of the Word of God, the doctrines we hold dear. Don't change. So, there's an ability here to overcome. Yeah, God shouldn't have overcome them. They had wrought the victory, these people. They may have been struggled, some of these believers, maybe confused, but by God's grace, they overcame. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And here's some encouragement here. You know, error is very seductive, isn't it? Error seduces people. People get caught up in error, whipped up in it. The devil's pushing his agendas, pushing his lies, getting people confused, getting people brainwashed. And you say, what about me? How do I not get caught up with error? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Yeah, amen. We've got more than our own mind. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of truth. And we need to stay close to the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit, walking with the Lord. You know, reading the Word of God, having God speak to us through his Word. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So be encouraged. We don't have to go into error. No individual in this church has to go into error. This church doesn't have to go into error. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for the Spirit of truth, who is there to guide us into all truth. I pray, Father, you keep each one of us from error, and this church, your church, from error, Father. Thank you that we don't have to go into error. We thank you that we have your Word. Help us to be discerning, Lord, to each believer to be discerning when they hear what we preach. Lord, to Lord, listen, but to also, Lord, be discerning, that we will not be passive, Father, when we hear things, but we will test things by you and by your word. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen.